we are wrapping up 21 days of prayer. And I heard Kevin say, I don't know, a couple days ago, 21 days of prayer followed by 344 days of prayer. But then I did the calculation and we forgot that we had a week before that. But there's 344 days of the remaining of the year that we still want to be praying, right? So not just for 21 days of prayer and fasting, but we want to dedicate our entire lives given over to Jesus, given over to talking to him and being choosing to pray first. So don't let prayer and fasting end today. Don't let it be the last day that you fast this year. Choose, even I encourage you every month, pick a day and say, God, this is my day with you. And push away the table, push away the gaming, push away young people, push away the video gaming, push away the Netflix. Chris, push away the, I love Netflix, by the way. You know, but fasting is, it's a discipleship. It's part of our discipleship. It's part of growing and leaning into Jesus and spending time with him. And it's a blessing. I also want to say thank you to those of you who came out to our Monday night prayer services, the last three Monday nights. Beautiful, powerful. I love the intimate moments together where we come with a purpose to seek the very face of God and to pray for our church. We're a city, we're a church, for our city, for our nation, for our world. So we prayed for our church. We prayed for you. We prayed for our city. We prayed for our nation. We prayed for our world. And I want to keep praying. And I encourage you to keep on praying. And if you missed out, I'm just going to say it. You missed out. You did. It's only fair that I'm honest with you, right? No shame. That's okay. We still prayed for you. We prayed for your families. We prayed blessing over you. And we will trust God for his leadership in your day-to-day living in 2024. Next week, we're going to have a special worship and praise service. It's going to be refreshing. I believe it's going to be powerful. We're going to utilize that time to worship. But we're actually going to worship our way through the tabernacle next week. We prayed our way through the tabernacle. Beautiful experience. But we're going to worship our way through it. It's going to be fun. But the whole night, that's what we're going to do. So come on. We're going to jump. We're going to dance. We're going to shout. We're going to clap our hands. Give God thanksgiving and praise. And thank him for his cross. And thank him for the work that he's doing in our hearts. Thank him for the Holy Spirit. And I thank you for the word, the show bread. And give incense and worship. And into the Holy of Holies. And bow before him in worship. It's going to be great. So come on up. Bring a friend if you don't want to scare them off. Just kidding. It's going to be good. It is so good. Man, God, I love you. I feel like I just missed out on worship because I was changing from baptism. I want to just worship longer, but that's okay. It's so good. I truly believe that the atmosphere is shifting here at Beloved City Church. And I'm trusting for great things in 2024. And now here we are as we wrap up this series. We simply call Pray First, learning what it means to experience the transformative power of the life built on prayer. That's what we've been learning. That's been the thesis. Experiencing the transformative power of a life that's built on prayer. And my desire for you over this series has been that you would learn about God's desire for you and him to be in constant communication. And I know that I've given you some tools, I've given you some biblical instruction, and even some really practical models to practice that I believe will change your prayer life if you will apply them. So I encourage you, apply them. Friends, this church will be known for being a house of prayer. I believe that with all my heart. Why? Because Jesus says, my house will be a house of prayer. So I want to be the house that God wants to be part of, right? That's God's plan for us. And we have to be intentional in this to grow our prayer culture here at Beloved. Let's be a church family that chooses to pray first in every situation. So often, what do? We grumble first, right? We worry first. We gossip first. We get angry. We get frustrated. We Facebook it first. We cry. Let's throw the slide up there, this first one. Don't let prayer be your last resort, but let it be your first response. God, help me to remember. So many times in my week, I grumble first, and I'm like, right. God, the Holy Spirit speaks to me. Chris, you can pray first in this situation because I want to be a part of this with you. Pick up a t-shirt at the merch station on the way out. Pray first. Remind yourself. Get a sticky note. Stick it on the fridge, on your rearview mirror in your car, and wherever else you get up in the morning. Can you remember to choose prayer as your first response and not as your last resort? Your life built on prayer will be powerfully transformed. And sometimes, you know, we do. We quit in the dip. Things get slow. Some things get hard. We need grit. Keep on trucking. Get in the prayer room. Doesn't matter. It doesn't even have to be a room. Be in your car seat. We'll talk more about this, whatever. Get in the room. Start talking to God. God's not answering my prayers, you might say, right? Go, God. I didn't experience the healing that I wanted, the breakthrough, the provision that I expected when I expected it. But this is what I want to talk to you about today, is that you could be persistent in prayer. Will you be persistent? Would you be persistent in prayer? Because prayer isn't a one and done kind of thing. But you're going to see in a moment how important it is to keep on praying. Jesus talked about it, that we should always pray and never give up. The parables from Jesus, the stories he tells, were so often about persistent people who just kept on knocking, who kept on seeking. Everybody say, keep on knocking. Give yourself an air knock there. Dun, dun. Keep on knocking. Keep on seeking. Like, God already knows what you need, by the way, right? What areas of your character needs developing? How much food you have in the fridge, or how much you need, or how much money in the bank, he knows. But when we keep asking, it's meant to rebuild and to build our faith. Our job is simply to keep pursuing him with all of my heart. And sometimes that's really hard. Most of us aren't there yet. Our hearts be plugged up with offenses and with distractions. Our hearts be busy with chasing every lust of the eye and the lust of the flesh. And our hearts be, they be busy. And we'd be chasing comfort and careers and wanting to consume all my heart's little desires, God. But friends, what if 2024 was the year that you and I went all in? With my whole heart, God, with all my strength, with all my might. God wants to be activated in your entire life. So I want to teach you something very practical today. And then I'm going to get personal with you. So two parts today. Let's start with a scripture, Ephesians 6:18. If you have your phones, your Bibles, your iPads, pull them out. We'll have it up for you on the screen as well. It's been our theme verse for this series. And it says, pray in the Spirit on all occasions. And we talked about that. We can pray wherever we are all the time. You can actually be in a conversation with God all day, with all kinds. And we showed you, and we even practiced this in our prayer service, different types of prayer models and different types of prayer requests. He says, with all kinds of prayers and requests, with this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying. Friends, listen, and if you missed any of this series, I absolutely encourage you to go back and listen in on YouTube or Spotify. But I want to focus on the last part of that verse, with this in mind. What am I? That I can keep praying. And see, I have the tools needed to pray. I need to be alert. In other words, don't give up. Because you still have an enemy, friends, who is coming after you and everything that you love, who wants to destroy you and your family and divide your friendships and cause all kinds of disunity and fear and trembling. But you have a Savior. And you also have a leader in Christ Jesus through the Holy Spirit. And you can be in constant communication with him. Keep praying. I can keep praying. I've got the tools I need. I can be alert. And say this with me. I can keep praying. Keep praying. Now, we kick off every year, beloved, with 21 days of prayer and fasting, as I already mentioned. But will you keep praying? And I hope you will, friends. As I know, a life lived without prayer is a life not fully lived. You won't fully realize all that God has for you. It's simply relational, right? The dream that we have for you, Pastor Angela and I know the leadership team of this church as well, as I know, a life lived without prayer, the dream that we have for you is that you keep on praying, that you keep practicing, you keep leaning in, learning what it means to pray. And we talked earlier on this, even if it's 15 minutes is all you need to begin that lifestyle of prayer. 5 minutes in the word, 5 minutes in prayer, and 5 minutes in worship. Really, it's not that hard. The first 15 minutes of your day. Keep on praying that we would be a people that is given to prayer, that as a church, we would be a house of prayer. That's Jesus' heart for his house. Prayer changes lives, friends, and I still believe that. And I want to show you how we can keep praying, simple and practical. So if you are taking notes, and I hope you are, because you won't remember once you have a cheeseburger tonight. So take some notes, right? Oh, those are fasting. You can't wait for Dairy Queen. I heard. No, no. Actually, I started that one, but that's okay. So if you are taking notes, write these 5 points down that we're going to go through tonight. The first one being, I want you to, number one, continue to make prayer a priority in your life. Make it a priority. God will answer your prayers all day. He'll talk to you all day. But there's something about first things with God. He's a little cray-cray about first things. right? And that was the first part of this series. If you missed it, go back and watch it, because principles of first is really important to God. Therefore, it must be important to us. And I want you to learn to make prayer a priority in every part of your life. All throughout the Bible, you see morning prayer actually quite often demonstrated. In Psalms 5 and 3, in the morning, Lord, you hear my voice. In the morning, I lay my request before you and wait expectantly. The psalmist says, in the morning I pray and I lay my requests before you and I wait on you. Then the New Testament comes along and says this in 1 Thessalonians 5 and 17. Real simple, pray continually. That's impossible, friends, unless prayer takes on a different form than most of you have been practicing in your prayer life. See, prayer doesn't have to be an event where you get alone with God in your prayer. Those are great, but it doesn't have to be a quiet place or to talk to God. But praying continually, meaning I can have moments of conversation all day long and all night long if you're awake and you're working the night shift, whenever you want and wherever you want, like texting your loved one or your best friend all day. I know some of those thumbs. I've seen them go like a Morse code, right? But that's the kind of conversation you can have with God, just like some of you are having on your DMs and your text messages all day long, sending memes. Can you imagine? God's probably, that's not even funny. And I want to make sure you realize and you understand that you can have this conversation. You can be having this conversation with God all day long. I live this out. This is how I keep praying. And this is simply very practical. Lord, I'm stepping into a meeting right now. I really need your wisdom. I really need your courage. I need your compassion as I meet with this person to talk about what we're going through. Lord, I'm going to the doctor's appointment today. Would you guide the hands and minds of the physician that I'm going to see that we might get to the root issues of this health thing that I'm experiencing? Lord, help me to drive with patience on my way to work. Save my right foot too. As you're getting into your car. This is an example, just simply praying all day, just talking to God. This interview, Lord, I need your favor. You know, God, I've been making $12 an hour. I'm thankful that I make $12 an hour, but this job pays $16.25 an hour. God, that would be a blessing, and I could be a blessing to bless others. God, I pray, would you give me favor in this interview today? God, thank you for guiding my thoughts and my tongue, actually, in that conversation I just had with my mom-in-law. I'm just kidding, I love mom-in-laws. Neighbor. Right? We keep praying. Pray in the morning. That's great. Practice the principle first. That's a good thing to do. Start with 15 minutes. But pray all. Just keep praying, friends. It will change your life. Keep praying. But here's a question for you to help you think and act upon. I have this on the screen. Jot this down maybe so you can think about it and pray about it. What would I have to rearrange to make prayer that priority? Because chances are that some of you need to go to bed a little earlier, right? Wink, wink. So you can spend some time with God in the evening. For every one of us, I believe something could shift in our lifestyle in order for prayer to be that priority. It might even be that instead of listening to the radio on the way to work, I'm praying, I'm talking to God, right? Or on TikTok on my lunch break, although it's only 30 minutes, I can be talking to God. I can practice this keeping on praying. Maybe you could utilize that time to prioritize to talk to God. Rearrange some part of your life so that prayer can be that priority in your life. Here's the second practical application. Number two, find a dedicated place to pray. I highly encourage you to find a dedicated place to pray in your life, especially for your time that you've put aside. Not an only place to pray, but we see scriptural precedent all throughout the entire book of the Bible for a dedicated place to pray. The Bible talks about Jesus very early in the morning, Mark 1:35. Here's the priority part. While it was still dark, Jesus got up, left the house, and went off to a solitary place where he prayed. Jesus had a dedicated place where he prayed. Scripture even talks about a time that Jesus was praying and he was overlooking the city of Jerusalem. And he wept over her. When you pray in your dedicated place of prayer, listen, I encourage you, friends, in your dedicated place, this is where you get an opportunity to pray without distraction. Leave your phone in the living room or wherever you can leave it so it's not by you. Pray over your family. Pray over your church. Pray over your city. Pray over your nation. Pray over your world. And get emotional about it. It's okay. And pray out loud when you can. Friends, I've been in our prayer meetings. Our prayer meetings are too quiet. I'm going to be honest with you, right? I've been to them. I know. Scripture talks about shouting and lifting up your voice. Crying out. Us, we'd be so shy and proper, right? We whispering, Jesus, so good. Lift your voice to God. Praying in your head. Now you're too busy wondering about tomorrow. You're not praying. Oh, man. Right? We all been there. Let's be honest with ourselves. Lift your voice. Friends, keep praying. You need a dedicated place where you can express yourself before God. You can shout before God. You can cry before God. And sometimes here's another thought too. You might even need some visuals. Who's a visual learner? I am a visual learner. I like visual things. Visual, sometimes you need a visual. Maybe it's a family picture in your dedicated place of prayer so you can be reminded to pray over each member of your family. Whatever a picture might be of your city, of your workplace, a logo, whatever that might be. Sometimes we need a visual. Maybe it's a map of your city. In my office, I've got three maps. There are three areas of this island that I believe God has called me to be a part of reaching. So I pray over those maps. God, help me, Lord. Help us. Lord, send more people. Send laborers, God. We want to reach this city. See this neighborhood right here, this neighbor in Harewood, God. Oh, my Lord, we need Jesus in Harewood. Who lives in Harewood? He's saying, hey, man, I live out there, so Scarewood. Sometimes you need a visual to remind you as you pray in your dedicated place of prayer. The question I have for you, and I have for the screen as well. Thank you, Jeremy, for helping us back there. When I talk to you about a place, what place would be most conducive for me to pray effectively? Early in the morning, I know the first place is not effective for me to pray is in my bed. I'll be closing my eyes before you know it. Or some of you in your favorite lazy boy chair, coffee over to the side. By the time you wake up, your coffee's cold. You need a second one already. Right? Watching my wife's favorite cooking show. I'll be falling asleep right away. Probably not super conducive for me to pray effectively in those moments. Maybe it's a quiet place. Maybe it's better experience with someone else. Or with music or on your front porch overlooking the city or overlooking your neighbor, looking your street. For some of you who have a hard time sitting down and slowing down, get on your treadmill and talk to God. I can't talk when I'm on the treadmill, by the way, so I'm huffing and puffing. But maybe some of you are way more better shape than I am. It's your dedicated place, and you can utilize that moment to talk to God. Just don't let your prayer life suffer any longer, friends. Some of you need an accountability partner to check in on each other, to talk about your prayer life, to meet up for prayer. Nothing better than some real accountability. Check in with one another, right? Hey, how's your prayer time this morning? That's what is so important about joining the Beloved City Church family, I believe, and plugging into city groups and being on a team, because it's real life accountability. When you do life and ministry together, we actually know each other's celebrations and a little bit of our junk too. That's how we can actually encourage one another, sharpen one another. Don't do life or ministry alone, friends. Right? You can build some lifelong relationships that can actually be a help to one another. That's the whole point. Right? So don't do it alone. And some of you still need to learn how to put this into practice, and let's go. What's holding you back, right? Jump in. Here's the third thing. I know. Number three, have a plan for prayer. And you've heard me talk about this a little bit already over this series. I believe that you need to go into your prayer time ready with a plan, with material, practicing one of the prayer models, maybe even download the Pray First app. There's plenty of information and techniques and models to learn from. If you haven't downloaded, do so on your phone or whatever that looks like. Even better, for those of you who get distracted by your phone during prayer, leave it on the counter and print off a prayer guide instead, maybe, eh? Hey, we got tools. There ain't no reason you can continue to live under-equipped to succeed in your prayer life. And I already know how good our memory is. So resource yourself. Keep them accessible. We want you to keep praying because I know this, friends, that your life, your marriage, your finances, your schooling, workplace and neighborhood, your health and your wholeness will be powerfully transformed by a life that's built on prayer. You need to have a plan for prayer. Jesus did this for his disciples, Luke 11:1-2. Jesus himself was obviously in a certain place praying, according to scripture here. And as he finished, one of his disciples came to him and said, "Lord, teach us to pray." Just as John taught his disciples, Jesus said, "This is how you should pray." Like these friends, like you read this, you're like, mm-hmm. But these disciples, like they had Torah memorized before their bar mitzvah. Their coming of age celebration of the ages of 12 or 13. They could already recite prayers and scripture and psalms. And they're saying, "Oh, we just heard you praying, Master, and we don't know how to do that. Like we just saw you do something that we've never learned before." So they said, "Will you teach us, Lord, how to do that?" And then Jesus said, he didn't say that you should, what you should say or what you should recite. He said, "This is how you ought to pray. After this manner, pray." In other words, the following verse is known as the Lord's Prayer, is an outline, a great model for you to pray. It's a prayer plan that you can walk through. And if you missed it, listen to session 2 of this series. You need a plan. So here's the question for you as you're thinking about a plan. What plan makes prayer easy, interesting, and effective? Easy, interesting, and effective. So in other words, if you go into your prayer time and you don't enjoy it, or you don't like it, or you're not ready for it, and you're sitting there and you're not sure what to say, and you're like, blink, 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 you're not going to have an effective time of prayer, right? But if you're readied and you are equipped and you are prepared, and my job is to give you the tools, but you have to put in the work. I love giving you the tools, right? And my heart for you is that you would have a plan for prayer and that you would put the work in and be prepared for your prayer time. Here's the fourth one. It's important too. Number 4, pray with energy and power. Oh, okay. And I kind of mentioned this already. Us Canadians, on our prayer time, it's okay once in a while. But here's what I'm doing. I'm actually pushing back against traditional religious conditioning that many of us have been impacted by. We've been modeled like prayer models of like, okay, everybody, quiet. Don't raise your voice. Clasp your hands like this. You kneel. And you could think when you go to church, some grumpy deacon, shh, pray. I don't know. Maybe you didn't grow up in church. I did. There's no verse in the entire Bible, not a single verse that directs us to pray in such a way. In fact, it's the opposite. Enter his gates with shouts of praise, thanking him, like exciting. In fact, most verses on prayer talk about lifting your eyes to heaven and lifting up your hands, your yod with kabod, right? Lifting up your voice with spark and with energy and with presentness. Like it's exciting. Friends, listen to me. The devil loves a quiet church. Subdued, weak, timid prayers. Like, you ain't no threat. Whispering in the corner, you all balled up, right? The devil doesn't want you coming to church with energy, that's for sure. Or praying with energy and a power and authority. Like I said before, our host culture, when they worship their gods, when they go to their church of sports or concerts or whatever they go to, in Nanaimo, they go to the bathtub race, right? Like they know how to give good worship to their God, little g. It's just not good worship of a good God. You follow me? Like there's more scriptural precedence for praying and worshiping God with energy and with power than how we be praying. I think we can have a whole lot better reaction to God than our culture does to their heroes. Amen? Man, I want to out-worship and out-praise our host culture when they're at a hockey game. Power with energy. In fact, James 5:16, I have this for you as well. Scripture says, that the effective fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. Effective fervency. These are two words in the English translation, by the way. And here's where you need some biblical literacy. Hey, if you haven't signed up for Bible school coming up soon, and you want to be part of that, man, you got to jump and ask one of the hosts after church. We want to have some biblical literacy in our church. But in the Greek, which is the original text this was written in, right? The Bible, the New Testament. Do you know what the one word for these two words is? Energeo is actually where we get the word energy, effective fervent. Like the more energy you put into your prayer time and into your worship, the energy you actually put into really going after God, the more effective your prayers will be that actually accomplish something scripture is saying, avails much. Now, I know this is a hurdle for many of us, right? A stretch, like, Pastor Chris, I'm kind of timid and I'm kind of shy. Yeah, but God didn't give you a spirit of timidity, right? But of power. What would it like, would it look like, I should say, for you to take a step? Because we're all about taking steps here. Not because we don't like you either, right? That's not why. It's because we want you to grow and experience more of what God has for you. That's why we help you. Come on, take a step. Let's go. Here's where we can go. Here's some things we can try. In fact, here's a question that I am asking you. I'll have it on the screen again. What hurdle will I have to overcome to make prayer a powerful experience? What hurdle? Like what fear? What theology? Like what the Bible actually says and not Aunt Edie. Is it being shy? Like that's a hurdle sometimes when you were shy, right? I know it's a hurdle, but I didn't write the Bible. This is God's self-revelation of what he likes and what he wants and what he desires and what he don't like. He said, clap your hands. And so I clap my hands, right? He said, shout to God with a voice of triumph. Oh, ye people, not just three of you, shout to God. In fact, let's try it. Ready? We're going to count to three. We're going to count backwards in 3, 2, 1. And I want to go a little brave heart in this room. Is that okay? Break off some chains. Sometimes that spirit of timidity has got to be just like canceled. You ready for this? At the end of it, when we hit one. So 3, 2, 1. Yeah! Lord, you're good. This side was louder, by the way. You want to try it again? I was paying attention. Oh, probably. That's right. Someone's paying attention. That's good. We lift our hands. We bless his name. God said it. I'm going to do it. That's what obedience is, right? Some of you might have to take baby steps. I get it, because sometimes this is too big of a step and you get all shaky. So you take little steps. That's okay, right? Baby steps. Maybe you can't go all full touchdown when you begin to lift your hands. You're like, woo! But maybe you can carry the baby. Try it. And then as you get more brave and bold, you carry the big TV. Mm-hmm. God, this is good. It's not too bad, not too scary. And then you got the big screen, right? And you just take those baby steps of learning how to lift my hands. And maybe it's clap your hands, like maybe it's golf clap for you. And before you know it, you're like, You know, it takes time. I get it. But hey, what I'm encouraging you is keep on trying. Lean in and practice it. God calls for it. I'm just going to do it, God. I'm trusting you for good things. Take steps. Grow. Lean in. Stretch. Before you know it, you'll be going full Braveheart on everybody anyway. I mean, God saved a whole lot more than your toes, right? You got to let the rest of your body catch up on the blessing of praising God with all your might and with all your body. That's why some people jump around here, and we haven't seen anyone run the aisles for a long time. That's old school, I know, swinging from the chandeliers. We don't even have chandeliers. What are we going to swing from now? But we can praise God with our whole body. I know you might look funny. Who cares? Nobody's worshiping you anyway, right? It's not about me, what I look like. It's about giving good worship to a good God. And Bible talks about give him my body. I'm going to give it to him. Anyways, this is free. same, friends. Overcoming hurdles is what I was talking about, I guess. And the same is true for our lifestyle of prayer. If you've never prayed out loud before, look, just turn up the music a little bit, right? Kick the dog out, kick everybody out of the room, and then try it, right? No one but God and the goldfish now is listening to you, right? And you know what? You'll be surprised how freeing it is and how much you actually enjoy crying out to God and shouting with a voice of triumph. You getting this tonight? Man, I know I'm working to help somebody out tonight. Here's the last one. Number 5, relate to the person of prayer. And it's capitalized because I'm talking about the Godhead. The Trinity, some might say. See, God is not a faceless giant in the sky with a long gray beard, lightning bolt in one hand and a hammer in the other hand, ready to thump you on the head when you do something wrong. God is a spirit, first, revealed to humanity in the person of Jesus Christ. He has feelings, emotions, dreams, vision. The Bible talks about God being jealous for you. He gets angry when the devil attacks you. He's protective over you. He has mercy. God has emotions. And Scripture talks to us about the differing aspects of the Godhead. Watch this in 2 Corinthians 13 and 14. It says, the amazing grace of the Master Jesus Christ, the extravagant love of God, the intimate friendship of the Holy Spirit be with all of you. See, when I pray, I focus in this similar order that Scripture has just laid out. It's because of the work of Jesus that I can even have access to God, our Father in creation, and to the Holy Spirit. See, without Jesus at the center of my life, I will not experience the extravagant love of God and the intimate friendship of the Holy Spirit. I must go through Jesus to have access to all that God has for me. Jesus is the full revelation of God. And now, since Jesus left the earth, the Holy Spirit of God is given to us for free to live in us, to be indwelling in us, accessible to all who believe in the finished work of Jesus Christ on the cross and the resurrection power. Like Jesus, like Christ in me, the hope of glory, I and you and me, just as I am one in the Father and he in me. Jesus said this. So often we don't know how to pray in relation to the person of prayer. And sometimes we get caught up in praying to monks and saints and mothers in the universe, throwing the Jesus into the mix and stirring it all up. And we just don't know. We're not relating to the person of prayer. No, you must know God through Christ. He was and is and still yet to come. God is a spirit. There's one on the throne. And now his spirit can live inside of you, helping you and empowering you to live righteously, living according to God's standards is what that means, right? And here's a quick tip. I'm not sure if I have this on the slide or not. I think I actually have all three. Focus on these three things when relating to the person of prayer. And the praying through the tabernacle is really helpful for this too, if you want to look at that in your prayer guides. Focus on the cross of Jesus. God, thank you for all that you've done for us, Jesus. Thank you for dying on the cross for us. Thank you for taking that, the bruising, the beating, the stripes for our sins. Focus on the cross of Jesus. And then focus on submission to the Father, to God. God, I give you my whole life, all of it, every bit of it. I surrender my will, I surrender my dreams, all my ambitions, my money, my sex life, everything. I submit it to you, God. Even the stuff that's not so good, God, I give that to you too. And then focus on communion with Holy Spirit, because I can talk to you all day long. I'm in relationship with you, God, through the Holy Spirit. And I want you to understand what we just went through, those 5 points that we just went through, are the 5 P's of prayer to help us learn how to keep on praying. It's priority, place, plan, power, and person. I'll say them again. Priority, place, plan, power, and person. And here's how I want to wrap up tonight. I've got 9 seconds left. I'll be quick. I want to let you in on one of my prayers for you. And you need to know, if you call this place home, you are covered by Pastor Angela and I, as Andy's was, you are covered in prayers by this household, by our leadership team. This is family. Friends, I love you. I care about you immensely. God put you here for a reason. My job is to steward that relationship and to lead and guide and do whatever I can to make sure that you are championing your faith life. And I'm praying for you. I'm rooting for you. I'm cheering for you. So that you can keep praying, because I know you can. Because you can choose to pray first and not let it be a last resort in your life anymore. I didn't make this prayer up, by the way. I learned it. It's in scripture. Paul, who was an apostle, apostle simply means he planted churches and raised up leadership and gave them good biblical instruction and doctrine and then turned it over to good leadership and moved on to do it all over again. But to keep the churches encouraged and living in correct doctrines, he'd write letters, and these letters are called epistles. Okay, sound good? Real easy, right? A lot of your New Testament books are actually epistles, letters to the churches by Paul. So Paul is writing to the church in Ephesus, which is still a city today in Turkey. To the church that he planted, he says this in Ephesians 1, 16 to 18. He goes, I have not stopped giving thanks for you. In other words, friends, when I'm thinking of you, I've got good thoughts about you. I'm not looking at your shortcomings. I'm not worried about what you did yesterday. I'm not worried about your mistakes. I'm thanking God for you. God, thank you for the people that you've put in my care and custody, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for the people I get to pastor. Thank you, Lord, for Stephen. Thank you for Alice. Thank you for Tony. God, thank you for each one of you. As your face comes to mind, I'm thanking God for you. You are a delight to lead and a joy to do life and ministry with you. Amazing people that God has put in my life, and I love you. He says, remembering you in my prayers, he says, I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit. Two things, of wisdom and revelation. In other words, God, my heart is that each would just get a hold of this, get it, would see it, would experience it. That's what wisdom and revelation. And I dearly want that for you, beloved. Why? For what purpose? Four things, he continues on, that you may know him better. And the word he uses there for know in the Greek, the original language of the New Testament, like I mentioned, Greek word ginosko, it means intimacy. Like the same word they would use for where a man would know his wife and they had babies. That kind of intimacy, not a sexual term, but a closeness term. Intimacy. And beloved, I want this so dearly for you. I'm praying this for you, that you would know God. And that you would be so close to him in your prayer life. And even when you're not praying, you'd be experiencing his nearness and his intimacy, his closeness with you. Paul says this, I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened. And you know what that means? Your heart has eyes. You aren't looking through your physical eyes, friends. Instead of so often we're looking through our heart's eyes, which means everything we've been through, every hurt I've ever experienced, every word spoken over me, everything that has ever happened to me. And for some of you, because of what you've experienced in your life, your heart's eyes are clouded. Filled with pain. Hard. Like I can't see clearly. You've experienced negative words spoken of you. Terrible experiences, some of you. Heartache and confusion. And so when you see things, you're seeing them through the lens of your heart. It's like it filters things. Good and bad. And that's what Paul is saying. The eyes of your heart need to be enlightened. Or clear. In fact, this could be translated as focused and clear. And I get it. Life hasn't always been easy for you or great for you. And there's a bunch of stuff in our lives, junk and clutter, blockages in our hearts. But I'm praying for you, beloved, as Paul was praying for his church, that your heart will experience healing, that you would experience hope, that you'll experience a fresh sense of joy. You will be the happiest, friends, when you know why you are here on this earth. Right? And I want you to experience your eye, the eyes of your heart being enlightened. Paul says, in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you, because you know what? You can never see your tomorrow until you've settled your yesterday. You won't have hope. You won't have vision. You won't see a future that's bright until you settle your yesterdays. That's why we need hope and healing in our hearts and our lives. And this is a home, it's a hospital, where we find hope and healing. Our hearts can be mended so that our eyes can see clearly And we can sing, I can see clearly now the rain is gone. Because it's Vancouver. And once you do, there's hope in your calling. What do you mean, Pastor Chris, there's hope in my calling? When you settle your yesterday, you will experience hope and healing. You'll experience this fresh sense of joy. And now you will be able to understand why you're here. Why God planted you in this church. Why God planted you in your workplace and in your city and your neighborhood. And I really want that for you, fam. Do you know why you exist on this earth? Instead of being confused, why am I here? Why do I have this job? So let's settle our heart issues, because I want you to know and realize what God put you on this planet to do. And then you can have what the Bible calls, Paul continues, the riches of his glorious inheritance in his holy people. You friends have a glorious inheritance. Some of you already be open up Amazon, you're on your phone. Oh, I can't wait to spend that. You got a whole list of things you want to buy with your glorious inheritance. Nope, sorry to disappoint. The inheritance that he's actually talking about is people. Meaning the glorious inheritance, the hope that you have been called to is not, you're sure making money is good and working hard and being kingdom builders, oh, that's great. But what you've been called to is actually, the impact your life is going to make for somebody else. In such a way that makes a difference in their life. There's no better feeling. There's no better feeling, friends, than when you know you are living out God's purposes for your life in making an eternal difference in the lives of others. So I pray that for you. Pray that over this house, that you may know God intimately, that you would experience freedom like you've never experienced before from the issues that are holding you back and keeping you spiritually sick. That you were able to see God's perfect plan for your life. What's your purposes for my life, God? And then that you get on a team and do something about it. Do something with your life that actually matters. This is my prayer for you. So I want to pray for you. I'm done, but I'm going to pray. Some of you leave.